Those of you who question me on henna, our sister put out some little information cards, and I just want you to know that it's quite special. Henna is a shrub producing masses of small, white, heavily fragrant flowers. Has been widely used as a cosmetic from ancient times until present. It is popular in the Middle East as a dye, which is applied in intricate patterns on the hands and feet of the bride. Don't you like that? The whole unbroken leaves of henna will not stain the skin. However, when they are broken and crushed, the color is released to stain the skin. The mention of the alluring fragrance of henna is quite appropriately found in a beautiful song, love song of the Bible, Songs of Solomon 1:14. It is a smell you can fall in love with instantly and is thought to be the source of Cleopatra's famous captivating perfume. And that ought to get you girls. The root word for henna is derived from an Arabic word meaning emotional tenderness. We like the henna leaves and the flowers can become spiritually tender and extremely fragrant when we submit to the breaking of our own wills in true repentance before the Lord. Amen. Well, this morning, he gave me a few questions that I'd like to kind of share with you, and then we'll go where he led me to go. I want you to kind of hold on to a few of these questions. And they are really, can I be a visible blessing right now? Can I be a visible blessing right now? Can Jesus manifest inside of me right now? Can others be motivated to be the good news and to go and receive the good news right now? Is God aware of my pain and rejection right now? And number four, does he truly see me? It's not all about me, but many years ago, the Lord allowed the heavens to be opened for me. I was going through a very, very traumatic crisis in my life. And I've had quite a few. But the difficulty was that I needed something out of the ordinary to confirm what I was now perceiving could possibly be God revealing something to me. Could. But I wasn't sure. So I cried out to him to do something dramatic that would shake me to believe whatever he wanted me to believe. And if it wasn't him, then obviously nothing would happen. How many have ever been in that boat before? Well, in Acts chapter 7, I'd like you to see a little bit of a man of God. Acts chapter 7, who had a traumatic call upon his life that needed to be, let's say, pressed in, shaken together, running over, so that he would know that he would know that he was doing the right thing. Verse 59. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord, Jesus, receive and accept and welcome my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out loudly, Lord, fix not this sin upon them, lay it not on their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And the Amplified says, in death. Now, if you back it up a little bit, verse 54, now hearing these things, they, the Jews, were cut to the heart and infuriated. And they ground their teeth against Stephen. But he, full of the Holy Spirit and controlled by, gazed into the heavens and saw the glory, the splendor and the majesty of God, and Jesus standing at God's right hand. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand. But they raised a great shout, and put their hands over their ears, and rushed together upon him. And they dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. And the witnesses placed their garments and feet at a young man's name, as a young man's named Saul. Why am I giving you that this morning? Because it answers the last question. Does God see what's going on within me? Does he really, really look at what's happening in my life? Is he really interested about me, myself, and I? Is he aware of my pain? Can I be a visible blessing even in the midst of a dying situation? Was Saul transformed to become Paul? So out of the death of a dying young man, absolutely precious to the Father, enough for the Son of God to stand up. Excuse me. Saul gets the irritation of his life. Is he aware? Is Saul aware of what's going to happen to him? Has he a clue? Can Saul be a blessing at that moment? Saul is on the run, can't stand these crazy idiots that think the anointed one has already come. Can Jesus manifest inside of Saul? Is it possible for the unbelief in Saul's relatives to think that he would end up actually serving the very Lord that he wants now to eliminate? Can Stephen, in his dying words, motivate the good news at that moment in Saul? How many know that Saul may have had 110 flashbacks to that moment by the Holy Ghost? Reminding him so that when he did get knocked off his horse, he knew, Lord, what would you have me do? When did he become Lord of Saul? Is God aware of Saul's pain and Saul's rejection? Was our God big enough to handle him? How many of you have got a couple of people falling apart around you? Thank you. Is God able to impact their lives like he did with Saul? I'm going to back up a little more. Stephen in chapter 6. Okay? Verse 5. A suggestion had been made so that they would bring in people. Okay? And the suggestion pleased the whole assembly, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith, that is, of a strong and welcome belief that Jesus is the Messiah, and full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Recommendation. You want to be a servant of the Most High God, to serve in His church, look at the qualifications. Verse 6. These they presented to the apostles, and after prayer, laid their hands on them. And the message of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And besides, a large number of the priests. Did you hear that? A large number of the priests were obedient to the faith in Jesus as Messiah, through whom is obtained eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. When you look at that reality, remember where the religious Jews started from. The priests from the temple became believers. Many. So are they going to bring their traditions with them? Yeah. Will they later on become an irritation to Saul, named Paul? They become Judaizers. They became religious folks for Jesus. Why didn't Jesus close the door? Yes, he did. He wanted the priests to be saved. Can you imagine a Jesus that could love those Judaizers enough to let them become a part of the body of Christ and not reject them because of their background or because of what they had believed, and love them where they were at, like he did with me and you? Are there Judaizers or religious folks today? Are they so confirming that they are the only ones that are going to see God? And you, many of you, were pulled out of that system. Perseverance in loving them, even in their priesthood, changed things. How many of you got a couple of people that are in their own priesthood thinking they're doing the perfect thing, and God will get a hold of them on the day appointed? I'm all set. Don't talk to me about this Jesus. I know exactly who God is. I know exactly where I'm going. And so bug off. Now, you've never heard anything like that from any of your relatives. But I have. And you know what? I learned to bug off. I learned to butt out. And I learned to shut up. But I learned to intercede like Stephen. Verse 8. Now Stephen, full of grace. I love it. Stephen, full of grace, divine blessing and favor, worked great wonders and signs and miracles among the people. However, some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, they're called freed Jewish slaves, amplified, as it was called, and of the Syrians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia, and the province of Asia, arose and undertook a debate and dispute with Stephen. But they were not able to resist the intelligence and the wisdom and the inspiration of the Spirit with which he spoke. Which Spirit was Stephen speaking from? The Holy Spirit. If he had been speaking of his own spirit, he would have failed like the rest of them. So they secretly instigated and instructed men to say, "We have heard this man speak using slanderous and abusive and blasphemous language against Moses and God." Thus they incited the people as well as the elders and the scribes, and they came upon Stephen and arrested him and took him before the council or the Sanhedrin. And they brought forward false witnesses. Doesn't that sound like a trial you've already read about? Yeah. Who arrested? And they asserted, "This man never stops making statements against the sacred places of the law." Wow. "For we have heard him say that this Jesus the Nazarene will tear down and destroy this place and will alter the institutions and the usage which Moses transmitted to me and us." Then all who sat in the council, as they gazed intently at Stephen, saw that his face had the appearance of, and the face of, an angel. It was God opening their eyes. What did it do? Did you ever see yourself under the anointing respond to somebody that's critical and all they do is get more and more angry? Then I give you a testimony. They're seeing Jesus in you. You can't see it in yourself because you're so focused on everything else and how their rejection is going to affect you. Don't underestimate how much of Jesus is actually flowing out of you and how much of it is visible to them, and that's why they can't stand you. Verse 1 of chapter 7. The high priest asked, "Are these charges true?" And he answered, "Brethren, fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our forefather Abraham," and he goes on and he goes on, to leave his country, etc., etc. And he gives them about the most intense speech that you can read anywhere in Scripture. It is such a good story of how God took the impossible and turned it into awesome things. Okay? I want you to kind of take a peek also that let's look at verse 45. Because there you'll begin to see, I mean, you can read this on your own later on, but he's talking about our forefathers in turn brought this tent of witnesses into the land with them. With Joshua, they dispossessed the nations which God drove out before the face of our forefathers. So it remained there until the time of David, who found grace, favor, and spiritual blessing in the sight of God, and prayed that he might be allowed to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses and temples made with hands, as the prophets say. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool for my feet. What house can you build for me, says the Lord, and what is the place in which I can rest? Was it not my hand that made all these things, you stubborn and stiff-necked people, still heathenish and uncircumcised in heart and ears? You are always actively resisting the Holy Spirit, as your forefathers were, so you are, and so do you. Which of the prophets did your forefathers not persecute? And they slew those who proclaimed beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you now have betrayed and murdered." Talk about to the point. You who received the law as it was ordained and set in order and delivered by angels, and yet you did not obey it. Now upon hearing these things, they were cut to the heart and infuriated, and they ground their teeth against him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heavens and saw God, the splendor and majesty of God, and Jesus standing at his right hand. And he said, look, I see heaven opened. I pray for that day for each of you. I pray that the Son of Man will stand, and just because of you. You will have so grasped his attention. And his love for you is so awesome that he will know that you are being persecuted and not drop you by the wayside such as you might have feared in the past. Can I be a visible blessing right now? Can Jesus manifest inside of me right now? Can others be motivated to go and be the good news right now? Is God aware of my pain and my rejection? And does he know the fullness of my heart? Does he really see me? One of the things that I have learned over the years of being changed is that God does not change his ways. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And on that particular night many years ago when I was really in search, I had not asked him to open the heavens, but he did. And I can truly say that I sat in the front row of a hotel room, or room similar to this, and God allowed me to see on the other side of the veil with my eyes wide open. Do I remember it like if it was yesterday? Did it confirm the very message that I didn't want to believe? Yes. Did it become one of my biggest irritations to my mind? Yes. Did it also begin to impact me to see that my Father in heaven was interested in me? And could he take me from point A to point Z? Remember Tuesday I gave you, he who began the good work will bring it to completion. Reminding you that you have an impact already imparted to you by him, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But I would say to you without hesitation, there's more to come. Is he interested in those that have troubled you? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And please don't hold the sin against them with Stephen's prayer. If you study those three chapters, you'll see the anointing of the priesthood so visible in Stephen. It is absolutely awesome. That he says, please, Father, do not hold this sin against them. They don't realize what they're doing. How many of you guys, a couple of stubborn folks in there? Close your eyes. Repeat with me. Lord Jesus, just like Stephen, please do not hold this sin against them. Whatever they're doing against me, because of the anointing inside of my heart and the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of me, yes, I become an irritation, and they would love to crown me with many crowns. Probably crucify me if they could, because I irritate the negative forces using them. And they do not comprehend. They don't have an understanding of who I am in Christ Jesus. Father, I set them free by choice. And you know how to heal them. Even while they're still throwing stones at me. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Lord Jesus, heal their hearts. While you're healing mine.
While you're healing mine.
And be glorified. Right now. As I give them the good news again and again. As you press me in your spirit. And I will obey. In Jesus' name, I pray. Yes.
As you were speaking, I remember several times that I was told that by different individuals, they didn't want to talk to me. But this particular thing happened at my house one day. I heard the doorbell ring and I came down to answer it. My brother came down at the same time I did. And it was some Jehovah's Witness. And as I walked to the door, I said, "Can I help you?" And the lady said to me, "I don't want to talk to you. I didn't come here to talk to you." And I stood there and I'm saying, "This is my house. This is my door. And this is my crowd." And my flesh wanted to retaliate. But I turned around. My brother was standing there. And that's who she wanted to talk to. She never saw me before. So I turned around and went in the kitchen and I said, "Lord, what is this? I have not seen this woman before." And the Lord said to me, "She's not angry at you. She's angry at me in you."
Yes.
So go upstairs and pray for her. And that's exactly what you were saying today.
Yes.
I was angry at first because, I mean, I opened the door to somebody that disturbed me from what I was doing upstairs. And,
yeah.
You know, part of me wanted to tell her off. But then the Lord just...
How many have ever been calmed down by the Holy Ghost? Yes.
Situation happened to me yesterday. I was at Walmart doing some shopping, and I was out of the car and putting all my groceries into the trunk. And a truck was having a little bit of a hard time pulling in next to me, but finally came in, and the doors opened, and a man came out, and then a young boy came out, and I'm hearing this horrible voice coming out of a woman that was driving, and she was just using all these terrible words to someone else who was still in the back of the truck. It was a four-seater. So now, of course, my flesh now is, I wanted to go over and say, "Do you know what you're saying?" But I didn't. So now she gets out of the truck, and so does this. It was a little girl. She must have been about two. And I see them walking away. I think my mouth was hanging open. As they were walking away, the little girl had no shoes on that hot black pavement. And I'm thinking, oh, dear God. But I was angry. I was angry at first. And I got in my car, and the whole thing switched, and the Lord said, "Pray for them."
Yes.
Which is then what I did. It wasn't what I really wanted to do.
Amen.
I knew that was the right thing.
I also want to add one more thing, if you could. Keep Ryan in your prayer. He's our young man from Trinidad. I spoke to him last night. So did Pastor Yvonne. And he needs prayer. So he said to say hello. He's jealous. He'd like to be back with us. And I told him it's okay to be jealous. He can come anytime he wants. Satisfy that jealousy. He still has a belief that the Lord will release things to him so that he can be where he believes he's been called to be for September. At this time, however, it doesn't seem to be possible, but nothing is impossible with the Lord. So would you